Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning to you. If you're waking up on your Thursday, it's good to have you with us. Can you believe that it's June 11th? And while we're still a few hours ahead of the actual time when it happened, the 11th is 3 months, exactly 3 months since the NBA suspended its season indefinitely. It's been 3 months. I don't know whether I think it's moved quickly or slowly. I think it's a combination of both. Usually, and the days all blur together in the midst of this moving process and everything else that's going on. And I know many of you have, you know, have your own personal challenges and situations that you're dealing with. 3 months. It blows me away. I know, because we've counted every week. I've been determined to keep track, like I'm stranded on a desert island and I'm making notches with a rock on the cave wall. I've been determined to keep track. And so every Monday morning, I tell you it's 8 weeks exactly since I last did a show at CBS Sports Radio headquarters. It's 9 weeks. It's 10 weeks. It's 11. Well, we're working our way through week number 12 because I started doing the show from the after hours super secret home base the week after the NBA suspended its operations. And then, you know, the NHL was a day later. Major League Baseball, really like dominoes dropping. It's pretty quickly over the next 48 hours. And now here we are, 3 months down the road, and we're adding another return to the mix. Okay, so we've already had UFC. Was it 4 or 5 events so far, UFC? I know wrestling, but it's more of entertainment than it is an actual sporting event. It's not a competition. So we've had UFC, NASCAR, which has moved around to multiple tracks now after their initial experiment with Darlington and Charlotte. In fact, NASCAR will welcome fans at its next two stops. Miami is a limited number of fans, 1,000 of them. They're military. They're by invitation only. And then Talladega, which follows, they've got, I think, 5,000 fans they're going to allow. And it's they're selling tickets to go along the front straightaway, which is a mile long, literally a mile long. And they're allowing people to purchase tickets and be spread out in the lower level of the stands. So we're inching forward now, not only toward the official start to summer, the summer solstice, but the return of sports en masse. And the PGA Tour will join the fray today. It's the return of golf. Golf that counts. The charity golf was fun, but this is actual PGA Tour golf. There were a lot of practice rounds being played on Wednesday in Fort Worth at the Colonial. And this is a loaded field. Normally, you don't have all the top golfers in the game, because a lot of them have other priorities, other tournaments. This is huge. You've got some of the biggest names in the game because they're desperate to get back. Their last event was the PGA, the Players Championship, and they were through round one. And all of a sudden, lights out. like the rest of sports, going into a hibernation. It was kind of funny to hear Rory McIlroy talk about how easily they fall back into the habits that they're so used to. So I know it's been 3 months away, and the PGA Tour has put out this lengthy manual of health and safety protocols they have to take. They all have to have their temperature taken before they can even leave the parking lot and get to the clubhouse and out onto the driving range and the tees, the greens, the practice greens, everything else. But here's one thing they know. 487 coronavirus tests for golfers, caddies, essential personnel. I'm assuming Jim Nantz had to take one too, since he will be there on site alone in his tower in the 18th hole. 487 COVID-19 tests, all of them negative. Not one guy tested positive, or not one guy or gal tested positive. Dottie Pepper, I know, is an on-course reporter. How about that? I think if it's me, I get some confidence from that. I don't know how much these guys are worried about it, but of course many of them have families and they have to travel, and this is just the start. I think probably more pressing for them would be if someone tested positive, that they might have to go back into a hibernation and wait for golf to return at some other later date. That definitely is a concern for a lot of the athletes and the coaches. Not so much what happens if I get the virus or I'm putting myself at risk for the virus, but how many positive tests does it take to shut the whole thing down again? Well, in the case of golf, they're starting with a clean slate. 487 tests, not one positive. It's a good place to start. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Hours away from golf. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact the team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Sugar. Sugar's very excited about the fact that golf is returning. Right, Sugar? Okay, so yesterday morning she did the same thing because it's an hour from her breakfast time, and she wants to remind me, it'll continue all through this next hour, that it's almost breakfast. It's almost breakfast. On the weekends, this is why I cannot sleep, because the cat walks on my head, reminding me it's almost time for breakfast. Yep, see what I mean? Anyway, yesterday morning she was doing that, and I sent the link of the podcast to my family and told them, listen to the first 3.5 minutes, because they all think Sugar is really entertaining.
Black cat has taken the field.
So much fun. I think she's more annoying than fun, but she is my annoying cat, so that means she's stuck with me and I'm stuck with her. Huh, Shugs? Huh, Sugar? Sugar. You're so weird. Go away. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. I wonder if I'll look back on these days at some point when I am inside the CBS Sports Radio main studio again and think, oh, I wish I could do a show with my pets again. I'm going to say negative, Ghost Rider. That's probably not going to happen. I think I've had my fill of it. And actually, Penny has had her fill of it too, because she has been conked out downstairs in front of the door, or I guess she's behind the door, but she's trying to find the coolest place in the house because it's been really hot and humid. In fact, heat indices about 97, 98 degrees the last 2 days. It's been really humid, so that's her least favorite weather. And so she's been sprawled out on the hardwood floors anytime, you know, we're not walking or eating, because she's got the heavy fur coat and doesn't like it. So she has not budged the entire show, which is nice. The cat is not taking that cue. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Fess up, are you gambling on golf this weekend? I'm excited to have this live event and to know that there's money and a trophy, points on the tour, all of it riding, potentially could have a change in the world rankings at the very top. And so we're going to add golf to the mix. We are inching our way forward. Steady as she goes, slow and steady wins the race is what I meant to say. Winning the race on Wednesday night, Martin Truex Jr., Martinsville, so pretty under the lights, a short track, no fans, but beautiful. But with my apologies to Martin, who wins for the first time this year, that wasn't the top story coming out of NASCAR on Wednesday night. There was an announcement made earlier in the day that NASCAR is finally banning all Confederate flags at its tracks and events. To clarify, this is not NASCAR flying the Confederate flag. This is not the sport itself proudly waving and displaying the Confederate flag. That's not what we're talking about. This is fans. Fans who show up to the tracks. Sometimes you'll see the flag, maybe it's under the American flag on a long flagpole, or you know, they have a pole on the top of their RV, or you've got fans in the stands who are waving the Confederate flag or wearing the Confederate flag or something along those lines. And it's a move that NASCAR has wanted to make. They've considered it in recent years, going back to 2015 when Brian France was the president of NASCAR. He called it an offensive symbol. I remember Dale Earnhardt Jr. came out and said, you know, this is it's offensive to a lot of people. It has no place in our sport. Certainly NASCAR has its roots in the South and the moonshine and the racing on beaches. I get it, but that's not the way the sport is anymore. There are tracks all over the country. I mean, from Las Vegas to Northern California to New Hampshire, the track I used to work at when I was in college, to Michigan, Indianapolis now, they have NASCAR races. It's not just a sport that's in the South. But every time NASCAR would go to make this step, there would be this backlash from its fan base. Now, if you consider that NASCAR has been hemorrhaging fans over the last not quite 5 years. It goes back even farther than that. And there's a variety of reasons, mostly economic. Okay, so not anything to do with necessarily the, you know, the sport itself, but they've gone through this incredible transition where a lot of their star drivers have retired and have either moved into ownership or just walked away to do media. So Jeff Gordon, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Tony Stewart. I know Matt Kenseth is back now, but he retired as well. Danica Patrick left. I mean, there are a lot of different guys who just up and decided that this was it, that they were done. And so that hurt the sport because it lost a lot of its star power. Not all of it. I mean, Jimmy Johnson is still in the circuit. Jeff Gordon's in the booth and Dale does a lot of media too. But there was that transition. And then they've changed the format. I don't even know how many times. My goodness, the stage racing, the constant tweaks to the playoff format to the point where I can't even keep up with whatever the format is supposed to be for the playoffs. Just let me know who's in the playoffs and you know, we'll go from there. And so the sport's gone through a major transition anyway, and it's an expensive sport, and so it's been harder to come by sponsors, and fans are having a harder time, you know, spending money on the tickets, you know, in difficult economic times. And so NASCAR was worried about alienating what has long been considered a core fan base, but encouraged by Bubba Wallace, who is the only full-time black driver, they made this unprecedented step. And Bubba did say there was backlash from fans on Wednesday, but NASCAR finally drew the line and said no more. And honestly, if the flag is that freaking important to you, fly it at your own place, fly it at home. Don't take it somewhere where it's going to offend people. There's no need to that, to take it with you or to have it be at a sporting event.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Just a few hours ago, Sports Illustrated's Tom Verducci asking Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred point blank, will there be baseball in 2020? And Manfred responds with, absolutely, 100%, even if it's because I mandate the start date and the number of games. That's a power he has under that agreement between the players and the owners going back to March when the players agreed to prorated salaries for 2020. again with Tom Verducci of SI. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for joining us on this Thursday morning. We're pleased to welcome Casey Stern from Atlanta, part of both MLB Network and Inside the NBA on TNT. So you've got both those bases covered, Casey. Let's start with baseball. Seems like the iceberg is barely melting, if at all. What's your perspective on what's going on with owners and players at this moment?
Well, I think, you know, honestly, I mean, it's sad. And that's the biggest thing, because when, you know, the Gobert situation happened in the NBA on the 11th of March, I think it was, which necessitated everybody kind of moving in other sports, it looked like maybe baseball was going to go quicker than we thought, because 15 days later, they at least had, you know, come to some sort of an agreement on a semblance of where they were going to be. And then there have been disagreements about what that agreement even meant, and it's gone haywire after that. And it's gone from bad to worse, because now you're at a point where, first of all, they have laid everything out public. And depending upon who you ask, the other's going to blame. You know, most likely, I think it's fair to say that companies usually will go ahead and you know, fire the first shot, leak it out, because they want to go ahead and control the rhetoric. So
sure,
baseball players have kind of been reacting to it. But at the same time, you know, Tony Clark comes out last week with a statement that basically is, we are not going to, you know, it's like the Custer's last stand didn't end well for him. You know, so it's like, you can't be that way in today's day and age. And I think what people need to realize is the CBA looming just months from now is the reason all this is happening. And they're both posturing and worrying about, if I give here, how am I going to get screwed long term in the next agreement, when they both should have just come to it and said, hey, look, you know what? Neither of us are going to win or lose anything during this period. We're all going to lose some money, but people are losing jobs. There's health issues and negativity everywhere. Let's come to an agreement that says literally everything here is just for the next 4 or 5 months, and we'll fight it out after that. And the fact that neither side could swallow the pride to do that is a problem, unfortunately.
How confident are you that there will actually be baseball in 2020?
Well, I'm 100% confident there will be some sort of baseball, only because of what happened in March and the fact of where, you know, Commissioner Manfred has already admitted that he's willing to use the ability to take that document and say, hey, look, I can force you to play, because they've agreed to a certain prorated sense. So they're going to 48-50 games is where you'd be kind of at. But, I mean, look, we're going to play a six-game NFL season. Like, you know, we all know the baseball season's too long. But it's like when somebody, like, you know, be careful what you wish for. I mean, 50 games, I mean, are the Orioles in it? Like, I don't know. Like, you know, it's a little bit ridiculous. So I think they'll come to an agreement. I think they're going to feel forced to do so. But where they've gotten stuck, Amy, is they kept putting this July 4th date out there.
Right.
And it's like, what are you going to do? Have spring training for 7 minutes? So it's like, there's no way that's going to happen. They just look like they always do. Look, baseball looks like the league that didn't know how a guy snuck in, changed all the balls without anybody knowing. I mean, that's it's really not anything new. It's not.
Casey Stern, the host on MLB Network Radio on Sirius XM, and also, of course, part of Turner Sports and TNT with the NBA. So then let's transition to that, Casey. The NBA has released its return to play plan. How would you compare the way the two sports have handled things?
I mean, we should – honestly, you could do a 30 for 30 with a 10-part series on that. Because the example I always give people is I'm sitting there doing the pregame for the finals 2 years ago, and Kyle Lowry goes into the stands and the whole situation with the guy involved with the Warriors. By the time you came back the next day for practice on the off day, they already had told that guy he's never coming in a building again. I mean, that's
right.
How the NBA is, and it's like baseball is still waiting to, like – I mean, how long did it take – for them to come out with the, whether you look at the Chase Utley play many years ago, the recent thing with the sign stealing, they're always seen behind. And I think to me, what I look at is one of the differences, and I'm not trying to put this all on Rob Manfred, I'm not, but I think Adam Silver coming from the David Stern, you know, tree, which by the way, Gary Bettman, also a David Stern's disciple, was part of the NBA, I think is a big thing, because they're always willing to do what it takes to help the players build their brand, because they get it. And getting it means if they make money, we're going to make money.
Right.
So Adam Silver's on calls with players during this entire process and the owners, not two against one like Major League Baseball is, because Rob Manfred's really communicating with the owners. And I get that's where the money is. But you got to also realize that the bread and butter has got to come from brand, and it's why they push their players and why Major League Baseball says, hey, a weekend in August, you can wear nicknames on your back. We're cool, right? Like, I mean, it's not this is totally different. Nobody knows who Mike Trout is, and it's sad. So it's the NBA being forward-thinking, and I think the way that they've put this thing together has really it's impressed the heck out of me because it's difficult. I kind of at least want to put out there that I'm sure there are going to be some issues because, look, this is something nobody's gone through before. So there's going to be something that nobody had planned for. Yes, I think somebody probably, right, it ends up, unfortunately, you know, testing positive for corona. Then how do you act with that? Do they have 74 different, you know, plan A all the way through, who knows, you know, Z37.B? I don't know. But so I think we're going to have to at least be understandable that they're going to probably learn on the fly some things they need to tweak. But I've been really impressed with how they put this together. And they also did not put out to the public any dates at first. They are waiting until they're sure. Then they're I mean, really, this is like business class in college as a freshman. But really, I think, to be honest with you, they have just done the right things where MLB, who's more worried about what people think of them, I think has done the opposite.
Casey Stern with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. When you think about the Orlando bubble, well, I hope that you get to be in the bubble, though I know broadcasters right now are considered non-essential in many cases. But when you think of the bubble and this idea of teams having to stay there, so the guys who are part of the team that get to the NBA Finals could be in that bubble for 2.5 months. How realistic do you think it is? Will they stick to it?
I mean, this is definitely one of the questions. And by the way, in baseball, this is one of the questions too, because, you know, the idea, hey, I don't know if you're bringing your family, but you, like, 25-year-old single guy, like, you can't go out to the bar, you can't have a friend over, like, you're no, there's no Tinder. Like, I don't know I don't know how that's going to work. I think, you know, you look at the summer league setup, and you know, I almost think of it like it's an Olympic village, right? I mean, that's kind of the way that it's being treated. That's the way I'm looking at it now. Even then, you have other countries and other people and people who can flirt with other people. I mean, there's all sorts of different things that you have at least options to go out and meet and have conversations. Whereas when you're in the playoffs, is your family going to be with you? How many families are going to come? What is going to be the limit and their expectation? They've already said, hey, look, by the way, in case you plan on the daily pass, no one's going to Disney World. just in case your family thought, hey, look, this is great. We're just going to see Mickey Mouse. Nope, you're not going. So I think they're going to be able to probably do the right things. My hope, what I've said, Amy, on this side of it is most of the coaches in these sports are older and they're in more of a danger zone where the players know, hey, if I'm in this kind of shape, I'd probably shake this off and I'm not going to be seeing my family anyway or my grandparents or whoever. A lot of the coaches are in their 50s, their 60s. A lot of the people who work at the stadiums that these people do care about, I think in both sports that for the most part is going to keep everybody in kind of the buddy system scenario where, look, I'll tell you one thing. You know, players get mad at each other in clubhouses and locker rooms when they do stupid stuff that is past curfew or off the court or field. When you're talking about danger and endangering the lives of others, that stuff's not going to play very well. So I think for the most part, they're going to be fine.
Yeah, the whole thing is going to take some getting used to. I think everybody's going to have to adjust because it's so unprecedented and we've never seen anything like this before. As I think about the two sports again, though, Casey, this popped into my mind. Basketball versus baseball, which one is stranger without fans?
To me, it's baseball because, I love basketball in the playoffs, basketball in general. And I grew up, I grew up a Knicks fan. And the Garden was always an unbelievable place to go. But you don't sit there and have, like, the romanticism kind of like a – even in the movies, like, nobody's like, oh, and then I walked into the arena and all the lights open. Like, it really feels that way. But, like, you walk into a baseball stadium and we all remember the first time we were there. We all remember going with kids, going with parents. And I remember going to the old Yankee Stadium. My father, diehard Yankee fan, I'm not, but it would go in there and it's like, I mean, you get chills. I mean, you know what's happening in the bit. There's a different, to me, thing. I mean, happening in the daytime, out there on a weekend, you know, in nice weather, you know, kids off from school, all of that. So I think it's going to be stranger. except in Tampa Bay, where the Rays are probably best suited for this because they've been used to it for a long time.
Casey Stern from MLB Network Radio on SiriusXM and also part of the NBA coverage on TNT. You work with a variety of former athletes, guys who have been in the industry for a long time. What are you hearing from them? What kind of conversations are you having in light of what's happened in our nation in the last 2 weeks?
You know, I think, first of all, it's almost like, you know, to go through COVID, which is not over, which I'm not sure if people, if you have not realized, this isn't like Y2K, you didn't ruin your computer, and hey, we're all still here. No, this is not over, which, I mean, really, I think people need to understand. But that was like its own thing, and then you think about everything that's gone on, and I'm here in Atlanta, and it's just, I mean, look, sports have, and I could say baseball specifically, I worked just a few blocks from where everything happened down by the World Trade Center in 9/11. And I remember baseball coming back and just what it meant and just how important it was. And I was at that game where Piazza hit the home run September 21st that year. Wow. One. And to me, like, all that was just sports can hold a special place. So I think twofold. One, in terms of a healing process and bringing positivity, I think everybody needs to feel good in some way. So hopefully get back on the field. But I think most of the athletes that I know, they're trying to use their voices to do whatever they can to help. And, you know, for a lot of them, to be fair, I mean, it's a chance for them, because people will listen to them, to speak their mind and to help out. And I mean, I'm proud of any time that any of those guys do that, because look, you know, we could talk about how much money athletes make and they got millions of dollars and they can go ahead and go, you know, off in some sunset. They don't need to worry about social distancing. They can go get a mansion on the beach and just disappear. The ones who stay involved because they want to help, they want to pay it forward, and not just to athletes, but to people. To me, that's something to really be proud of. And I don't think we spend enough time nationally talking about all the good things that these athletes do with that celebrity.
Well, you know, the salacious headlines are the ones that get the most clicks on social media.
No, I know. I mean, that's why I came on here. I was hoping for something. No, just I mean, I know. Look, at the end of the day, it's unfortunate, but we're all guilty of when you get drawn into something that is a headline. And, you know, that's why I always say, you know, perception is more important than reality. I mean, kind of funneling everything full circle. Yes. Even if you look at something, look, it's not going to change our world, even if I'd love to have baseball on, what the owners and the players are doing. But you think about the perception, that's why they leak information. Because it doesn't matter if I understand the numbers. If the owners are coming out and saying, hey, the players are not accepting this, they're not accepting that, and you're always on the offensive offering, and they're always saying no, no, no. Well, you go look on Twitter right now, anybody who's listening, and it's like 85% of the people are blaming the players, which I'm not saying, look, they're both to blame, but the way I've been saying it is, like, when a movie is bad, you're usually like, oh my God, I can't believe Nicolas Cage was in that, or Keanu Reeves. No one's like, wow, you know, Touchstone Pictures really needed to do a better job. Like, since when are people signing? Who sides with owners of anything? So but that's the perception. The perception that's been out there is that it's the player's fault, and I think the fans are buying it.
Casey, what do you miss the most? These last 3 months, believe it or not, it's been 3 months. What do you miss the most?
Adults. I mean, honestly, with three under adults. Really, that's the most part is probably adults. But, you know, I also, like, to me, being able to react to sports and have things that actually happen that are either, you know, amazingly wonderful or amazingly shocking the other way, it gives you something else where you're not focusing on what's on the television. Having this all happen at the same time, and obviously a lot of it related, is so difficult. But
it is.
I mean, if you had me get if I can just work in a little less Wreck-It Ralph and less Moana, and a little bit more adult conversation, I'm into it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, for all of that conversation, you're doing it from home. I'm sure you've had some fun stories with that, too. But you can find Casey on Twitter at Casey Stern. Catch him 8 o'clock Eastern time, weeknights on TNT, talking NBA, and then MLB Network Radio. And, Casey, we hope that there will be a World Series show where we can have you on again, like is our tradition. But for now, this is fun, too.
Yeah, I mean, usually when we talk, I'm packing up and I'm like, oh my God, I get a break. Now I'm like, can I please stop the break? So can we, somebody, does anyone have anything to do? It's amazing. It really is. But be well, obviously, to everybody listening. Best to you and your family, most importantly.
He's so funny. How can anyone be funny at this hour of the morning? I'm not a morning person, and Casey cracks me up. The one-liners in there, but he's always fun, and we usually do have him right in the hours after, probably an hour after the World Series champ is crowned, and I guess we'll see if that happens at the end of October this year. It seems like both sides are set on postseason in October, but at what point will they actually get on the field? Well, Rob Manfred holds the power. That's what we know for sure. And he is saying there will 100% be baseball in 2020.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred making an opening statement before the picks were announced in last night's amateur draft. The cynic in me, and I'm not generally cynical, but the closet cynic in me hears him say, the platform that we have. And I think, what platform? Where are you? We don't see you. All we hear is your debating. But I understand his larger point. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Can you believe we've got golf in mere hours? Pretty exciting. Fort Worth hosting the return to the PGA Tour at the Colonial, and it's a star-studded field. So we will definitely talk about it on this Thursday night. Also, from the Memphis Grizzlies, who currently sit in the number 8 spot in the West, longtime radio voice Eric Hasseltine. So we've got a busy show to wrap up the work week. 12 weeks nearly. So the actual anniversary, or I guess the actual tying of the bow on the 12th week, will come Sunday night into Monday morning, because that will be 12 weeks working from the After Hours super secret home base. By that time, there will be no furniture left in my current house. Well, there will be the desk that I'm sitting at right now and the chair. Oh, my goodness. I need to remember to tell the movers. So there are some people coming to take my furniture, not packing anything. My friends just paid for a couple of guys in a truck to come get the furniture and move it over to the new house, which I greatly appreciate. I suspect the reason why they're doing that is because they don't want to move the furniture themselves. And they know that as my best friends in the area, it would probably fall on them. Anyway, so this is their gift. Two guys in a truck, and those guys are coming on Saturday to take the furniture. But I think I have to put a big sign on the little desk I'm sitting at and the chair. Could you imagine if somehow the chair went into the truck, and all next week when I do the show, because I'll still be here, I guess I don't think it'll echo because I'm still sitting in the room with carpet. But either way, could you imagine if they took the chair and I somehow had to roll the chair a half mile from the new place back to this current place? I don't think I could stand for 20 hours of live radio next week. I guess I could sit on the floor. And then I really would never, ever, ever, not for a moment, be free of a cat in my personal space. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's sponsored by Geico. Geico has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. You know how some people, not me, but some people have those pet cams, or I don't know how it works. They have a pet monitor of some sort. I guess it's similar to a baby monitor with a video. And they kind of keep tabs on their pets that way. If I put a camera in this room where I am right now, you would be amazed at the number of calories this cat burns over the course of 4 hours. Up and down off my chair, leaning on me, worming her way behind my back. She's constantly like running around underneath the desk, back where the wires are. I mean, Dave knows because my mic is hot the entire time that I'm doing the show or that we're on the air. And I'm yelling at her, sugar, get down, go away. So, oh my gosh. If for no other reason, boss, then I don't have to deal with a cat anymore. Please let me come back to work. My gosh. That has nothing to do with Rob Manfred and his statement before the amateur draft. So I don't even know how I got off on that tangent. Forgive me. Sometimes late in the show, I get a little loopy. Sorry. I'm so sorry. I know the cat stories are annoying. The cat is annoying. Trust me. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page. So we've got golf coming up in mere hours. We also know that NASCAR continues through the weekend. Miami and Talladega, their next stops. UFC, they've got this whole Fight Island thing going on. And I've heard the word revolt, which seems a bit dramatic, but I've heard that word surrounding this whole Fight Island where there are some fighters who are not interested. And credit to Dana White. He has said, fight if you want to fight. Don't fight if you don't want to fight. And he has been very clear about how this spring, all bets are off. And we're not requiring you to do anything. If this is not something you're comfortable with, then don't do it. It's kind of his attitude about Conor McGregor. If you want to retire, then retire. I get it. It's an emotional time and people are making decisions based on these last 3 months that we never thought we'd go through. So if you're betting on golf, let me know because it's back on this Thursday with a star-studded field, which will be cool. MLS has now got its return to play plan. So soccer will be the next to join the fray. And I know some of you are easy to dismiss or quick to dismiss, I should say. NASCAR, UFC, maybe even golf and MLS. But the point is, we're inching forward more and more every day, taking steps to seeing, well, let's be honest, every sport ever created by the human race all operating at the same time. This is MLS Commissioner Don Garber looking at what's on the horizon for soccer.
You know, when we first put together the tournament concept at Disney World, we just were very uncertain about when we'd be able to return to our stadiums in our home market and thought, why don't we get them all together, get our teams, 26 teams together in one neutral site, play games every day, get our players back on the field for our fans. But very importantly, doing it with games of consequence. So a total prize pool of $1 million, the winner, you know, getting a spot in the CONCACAF Champions League. You know, all of this is our, you know, our best foot forward to do what we can in an exciting, compelling, and meaningful way to return to play for 2020.
Major League Soccer and the NBA are about to make Orlando really popular. And Florida was one of the first to say, hey, we're open. Come here. We've got your facilities. We'll take your tired, your poor, your hungry, your huddled masses. Come here and play your sports. Here are the dates. So Don Garber mentions it's a World Cup type format for MLS. And they're actually calling it the MLS is Back Tournament. All 26 teams will show up in Orlando at the Walt Disney World Resort, and the teams will start arriving as early as June 24th. So we're looking at 2 weeks until the teams begin to show up in Florida. The group stage will begin then a couple weeks later, so early July, right after the Independence Day weekend, actually. They'll move to round of 16 in late July, and then from the last few days of July into August. Now get this. The NBA begins on July 31st. The quarterfinals of the MLS is Back tournament. It's a mouthful. The quarterfinals begin July 30th and run through August 1st. See what I mean? It's about to get uber crowded in the sports world. Center ring of the circus. I mean, vying for, it's gonna be like old ladies using their elbows on Black Friday to grab the last TV on the shelf. Fierce, those older ladies. I'm going to be a fierce old lady when I get there. And then early August, they'll have the semifinals. The final is set for August 11th. And that will kind of be their reintegration, their return to the field. And then they'll see what they can do after that about putting teams in their home stadium. So we're doing this, peeps. UFC, NASCAR, golf today in Fort Worth. MLS returns soon. The NBA, the NHL. It's all happening. All right, we're back tonight to wrap up the work week. Great to have you. Hope you enjoy your Thursday. I'm going to go back to packing boxes and cleaning out the garage. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.